This is Brian Cambria with regional news for the Western Slope, Tuesday, December 31st, 2013. Recreational pot shops are scheduled to go live on January 1st, that's tomorrow. But most businesses are falling behind in opening by that time. And for small towns like Silt, recreational pot is an even more distant reality. Continuing our coverage of the advent of retail marijuana sales, KDNK's Ed Williams has more.
In communities across Colorado, marijuana entrepreneurs are going full speed ahead with efforts to gain a toehold into the new recreational marijuana market. Several business owners in Denver and Boulder are scheduled to open their recreational businesses in early January, and medical dispensaries in the Roaring Fork Valley are gearing up to sell to the general adult population as well. But things are a bit more convoluted in the towns of Silt, Newcastle, and Rifle. Even though a majority of voters in those towns supported legalization, local governments in Rifle and Newcastle have decided not to allow recreational pot shops in their towns. Silt, by contrast, has a long-standing ban on medical marijuana dispensaries, but officials there recently voted by a narrow margin to allow recreational marijuana shops. But still, the idea of being associated with the marijuana market at all rubs many in this small conservative town the wrong way. Here's Silt Mayor Dave Moore.
I can't say that still being from Silt, a conservative town that it is particularly proud to be associated with the activities that go on in Aspen and Boulder. And in all due respect to those towns, I think that by us approving marijuana, we'll put on a new put a new image on for Silt that we have never had the luxury of enjoying or the distaste of enjoying.
Still, some in Silt's town council say it's not worth taking away a potential source of tax revenue in this cash-strapped enclave where schools and public services are chronically underfunded. Sonny Fernandez is a Silt trustee. He says while he doesn't like the idea of marijuana shops in town, he thinks it would be foolish to turn away the possibility of revenue for Silt's public education.
Well, I know one thing. I think they said for education, a lot of money to go for the educational system, which we really need money for. So that comes in, I'm all for that. I'm like, because our educational system's a little bit shaky. I'd like to see more money dumped into our educational system. Right now, we don't have school on Friday because of the funding. So, and school teachers are hurting. I mean, so I'd like to see that. If there it is, the taxation, I'd like to see a good portion of it go for the educational, support the educational system.
But Mayor Dave Moore, who has been critical of Colorado's marijuana laws from the start, is skeptical that any recreational pot market in Silt will be worth the cost. He says once you factor in the administrative, policing, and other costs the town will have to incur when recreational shops open, the local taxes from recreational marijuana won't amount to much.
Now, again, I may be proven wrong, and some of the people who are interested in starting the pot shops are saying that I am wrong on that. However, again, based on the income that some of the other municipalities of similar size have made, I base my facts and I rest my case on that ours will probably be not much different. And I'm going to project around about $3,000 or $4,000 a year of sales tax and probably no more.
Trustee Sonny Fernandez agrees that it's a long shot for recreational pot to become a stable new market in Silt, but he says it's worth a try.
I'd like to give them a chance to come in here. If it brings in revenue for our educational system, fine, good. But I don't think my thought is it's dispensary is not going to last in this town.
Not going to last, Fernandez says, because there's just not enough demand locally to support a robust marijuana business in Silt. But with the neighboring moratoriums on recreational marijuana in Rifle and Newcastle, some medical dispensaries in those towns might be banking on Silt as a potential location for offering their products to non-medical customers. Though no applications have been processed yet, Silt Town Administrator Pamela Wood said so far the town has fielded 20 inquiries from people interested in setting up a recreational business in Silt. That's more than twice the number of restaurants in town.
That report came to us from Ed Williams for Rocky Mountain Community Radio. The state of Colorado is showing signs that it may be willing to work on economic development on the Western Slope, something that's been encouraged by state Republican Representative Ray Scott. As the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reports, the director of the state's Office of Economic Development and International Trade recently requested a meeting with Scott. Director Ken Lund said he's interested in having talks about the future of the Western Slope economy. Scott had previously asked Governor John Hickenlooper for a meeting with state officials on the issue. According to the Daily Sentinel, most of Scott's ideas for boosting the region's economy center on oil and gas development. Scott has described the region as, quote, energy-based economy. But he says he's open to what he calls outside-of-the-box ideas as well. Scott has pushed for the BLM to allow natural gas leases on the Rhone Plateau and has called for a task force that would study whether the state could feasibly move agencies that affect western Colorado to this side of the mountains. Students at some schools in the Roaring Fork Valley will soon be learning with the help of web-based technologies, thanks to a pilot program starting there in February. The Glenwood Springs Post-Independent reports schools in Glenwood Springs, Carbondale, and Basalt will take part in a $430,000 program that will be paid for with money from a voter-approved mill levy override. Voters approved the measure in 2011, which gave $4.8 million to schools in the Roaring Fork District. 1,400 computers are being ordered and will be distributed to schools in February, and students will be using apps and school projects stored in the cloud rather than on a local hard drive. With the 2014 Winter Olympics in Sochi, Russia, just 2 months away, Aspen Public Radio's Marcy Krivenin has been working on a series of profiles of winter athletes in western Colorado. 25-year-old Meg Olenek grew up skiing in Aspen, trailing her two older brothers. When they started doing tricks at the terrain park, Olenek followed suit. Soon she was competing in slope-style skiing around the world.
The discipline is new to the Winter Olympics in 2014, and Olenek wants to be part of history in the making.
Growing up, you know, I never thought I could be an Olympian because our sport wasn't a part of the Olympics. And then just within the last 2 years, that's kind of all my eyes have been set on, and it would mean the world, I mean, to be an Olympian and the rest of your life kind of have that under your belt.
The Carbondale native flies down a course of jumps and rails during ski slope style. In the event, judges look for difficulty and a variety of tricks, as well as how high off the ground the athlete can get.
I would say I'm more of a rail person. I love hitting rails. I don't know what it is, but you see this huge metal rail on the mountain, and you're like, okay, I'm gonna go figure that out.
Coming to you from Aspen, Colorado. The first day of competition included finals in both men's and women's ski slope style and snowmobile.
This YouTube video features highlights from the Winter X Games in Aspen, the most sought-after competition around for athletes like Meg Olenek.
Before the Olympics came around, it was the biggest contest of the year. And, you know, you feel really cool. Basically what it comes down to, you feel cool. You're, you know, lapping on snowmobiles. There's people everywhere watching. And for me, like my first year in X Games, I was shocked that people were watching, that people were like, you know, cheering for you. I thought I was just some random girl from Aspen. And then, you know, people come out of the woodworking and are cheering for you.
Following in her brother Peter's footsteps, she's competed in 4 X Games. Peter Olenek won gold 3 times at Winter X.
I had always wanted to be some sort of a professional skier and just ski my entire life. And my brother and sister followed me the whole way through.
Peter, who recently left the competitive circuit to coach, says his family is tight-knit, and he's coached his sister Meg for years.
Since we were little skiing, we always helped each other out, and I've been there for her at the top of her run at every X Games, along with my brother. And I take time out of my busy schedule, as she does for me, and we are there for each other when we go and compete.
As long as she stays healthy, he says he thinks Meg has a good shot at making the Olympic team.
She works harder than any person I've ever seen and loves skiing more than anyone I've even ever seen, even way more than me.
Meg Olenek is already overcoming several injuries. She's had 5 knee surgeries and 2 collarbone surgeries in recent years. Even though her latest knee injury kept her off of jumps for 18 months, now she says she's recovered and ready to compete.
I went through, I would say, a lot of doubt throughout the last injury, but in the last, 4 or 5 months, I've only felt confidence.
She must do well in five Olympic qualifying events to nab one of four spots on the women's ski slopestyle Olympic team. The team will likely be named in January. Outside of training and competing, Olenek is inspiring the next generation of female athletes. 2 years ago, she created a girls' camp in Carbondale called It's All About Her.
My goal was just to get girls involved with sports, any type of sports, you know, get girls moving and get girls, you know, being active and knowing that they can, you know, be sports athletes as well.
She's hoping to revive the camp again in the summer of 2014. Marcy Krivenin, Aspen Public Radio News.
And that was Marcy for Rocky Mountain Community Radio. Ridgeway State Park is one of a handful of parks across the state taking part in guided hikes on New Year's Day. As part of the event known as First Day Hikes, America's State Parks. That event is part of a nationwide effort to get people into state parks in 2014. Ridgeway State Park Ranger Chelsea Murray will be leading a guided hike on Wednesday along the Dallas Creek Nature Trail and through one of the area's unique riparian areas. More information on that hike and other First Day Hikes taking place across the state can be found online at the Colorado Parks and Wildlife's website, wildlife.state.co.us. Researchers at the National Center for Atmospheric Research in Boulder, or NCAR, are working on a pilot program for so-called smart plows, essentially snow plows that would know when and where they're needed most during a winter storm. According to the Denver Post, researchers are deploying a digital intelligence system for snowplows in Michigan, Minnesota, and Nevada on a trial basis. Plows involved with the test will have custom-made sensors that automatically measure road and weather conditions with the help of satellite technology. The sensors also give plow drivers real-time pictures of roads and can update as often as every 5 minutes. One scientist with NCAR said currently drivers only have new data on roads every 30 or 40 miles, but with this new technology, drivers could be updated every mile as they work. The system is being dubbed the Pike Alert Enhanced Maintenance Decision Support System. The U.S. Department of Transportation is funding the project, and NCAR is building the equipment. If the project goes smoothly, the equipment could be sold to private vendors and made available to other states by next winter. In a similar development, the Utah Department of Transportation is testing new technology being called FAST for Fixed Automated Spray Technology. The Salt Lake Tribune reported in the fall that UDOT has been using the technology in a few key places the past few years in Wasatch Mountain areas. UDOT crews fill up 2,000-gallon tanks with briny solution once a year at each location. Sensors monitor the temperature plus atmospheric and pavement conditions. The system then automatically de-ices the road when sensors say conditions warrant. So now our cars will soon be driving themselves, and some of our roadways are already taking care of themselves. Snowplow drivers shouldn't worry about being put out of work by technology anytime soon, however. Both these systems are very expensive, and plans are that they will be just another tool to help direct the best place for plows and other winter maintenance. This concludes the newscast. Now, today is the last regular newscast that I'll be hosting. Other obligations and responsibilities have made it difficult for me to commit the time that this job deserves, that you deserve. For 2.5 years, it's been my honor and privilege to bring you the regional news most weekday mornings. I thank you. I'll surely miss our mornings together. I believe in KVNF and our news department, and appreciate your support of the station and our news efforts. Please keep it up. I'm confident that Travis, Patricia, and the news department will continue to grow the news and bring you important, relevant broadcasts. And I hope and expect to fill in on occasion when needed. I'm not leaving the station, but I am leaving the news in good hands. And for this last official broadcast, I will also leave you with a quote of the day, or maybe a couple, and with Patty's permission, a song. There are so many things that we can learn from those who have gone before. It certainly helps me to filter things through the perspective of others' observations and beliefs. As Winston Churchill said, it's good for an uneducated man to read a book of quotes. So I'm torn. So many from which to choose. I want to leave you with something useful and wise, such as these words from Confucius. When we see men of worth, we should think of equaling them. When we see men of a contrary character, we should turn inwards and examine ourselves. But in reality, I think it's just as important to remember these words from Stan Laurel. A horse may be coaxed to drink, but a pencil must be led. For KVNF News, I'm Brian Cambria. Good day and best wishes for health, happiness, and love in 2014. Now here's the band.
A mountain top, if anybody can. Run away, run away, it's the restless age. Look away, look away, you can turn the page. Hey buddy, would you like to buy a watch real cheap here on the street? I got six on each arm and two on my feet. Life is a carnival, believe it or not. Life is a carnival, two bits a shot. The chinks in the third degree. Time to deal with people you can't see. Take away, take away this house of mirrors. Give away, all the souvenirs. We're all in the same boat, ready to float off the edge of the world. That old world. The street is a sideshow from the pavement to the corner. Life is a carnival, it's in the book. Life is a carnival, take another look. I got six on each time, two on my feet. Life is a carnival, believe it or not. Life